In this episode of Bear Podcast,
Sensei,
how coffee keeps you rock hard.
Are overweight men in the LGBT community more stigmatized?
Baidu to launch driverless cars.
And woman who claims to own the sun is suing eBay.
All these coming up. Stay tuned.
Bear Podcast 570. Bigger than the earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needed to be slapped.
Strip Cars Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night, did you do the sing along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it, we had pleasure, that's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
Welcome to episode 570, and it's June 10th. It's a Wednesday. Yeah, we skipped Monday. I was busy last night. I had to help a friend move.
That's fine.
Okay.
You helped a friend move?
Yeah, I was moving from, you know how that works, moving stuff from one place to a storage unit.
Yeah.
you know how that feels, right?
Yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah. So I did that the whole day, and for a reward, we went to Texas Roadhouse.
Nice. You know, I think my mom had it right by having a mobile home. That way, when you get ready to move, you just put the wheels back on the house and roll with it.
Ah, okay. Good idea. Can you do that here? You can do that here in the suburbs. Are there parts?
Well, there are some trailer parks in Houston, but they're kind of ghetto. But you can do it. I know. I keep seeing for some reason on my Facebook feed, I keep getting all these mobile home sales that you can get like a double wide loaded for $4,700 for $47,000, which I was like, that's a $500 a month house payment.
Yeah.
But then you got to have somewhere to put it and all the other stuff to go with it. So.
But how about those? I read it last week that people were buying out storage units. You know those
shipping containers. Yes.
You've seen that.
I've seen that. I've actually looked into doing that.
That's cheap, and that's sturdy.
Well, they say it's cheap, but those containers can run anywhere, depending on what you got, up to $2,000 or $3,000 now, because they've become popular that people are selling them.
Uh-huh.
Plus, you got to know how to do metalworking to cut them out, do all that stuff in them, plus plumb them, plus do all that stuff. Hope that the container hadn't been used with some crazy-ass chemical spilt in it. So you have to have it tested for chemicals and all kind of stuff. But yes, I've thought about it because I've seen some incredible stuff done. I've researched building a house out of container because, you know, me and Robbie talked about having a place up in the mountains of California, and a big thing there is fire. But one of the good things about the containers is they don't burn easy because they're all metal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can get a couple of them and put it – and if you can weld – if I took some welding classes, I could build one out of that, but that's still a lot of work of cutting the metal, putting windows in, insulating, plumbing, all that stuff.
I can do all of those. I just thought of having a container home. It's kind of a
but you realize those containers are maybe 8.5 feet tall, and maybe 8'3" wide.
You can make it look nice. Hey, well, also you put them together with others, right?
Well, yeah, you can do that. But there are a lot of them that just do singles, that very simple, basic houses. It's living, sleeping area, kind of like an efficiency apartment, which are kind of – I mean, there's a lot of people made them look really nice. And as people get into tiny homes, a lot of people are buying them and turning them into tiny homes. So
I don't see why not, as long as you keep it clean. Keep it
fun. Yeah, you have to keep it orderly. You can't have junk.
Minimalist.
You can't be a rat packer like me or Mike.
Yeah, me too. Okay, so you missed the party last weekend.
Yeah,
we were
going, but we got tied up doing some yard work, so we ended up staying. And I got sunburned. That's the other thing too.
Ah.
If y'all can't tell it, I'm really red.
Oh, really?
I'm a real redneck right now.
Oh, really?
And we were doing yard work, and I got done with the yard work, and I just jumped in the pool and floated around for like maybe 20 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Burnt as hell from that.
From a hail. So yeah,
tasty-ass white boy with diabetes problems.
I was smart enough to put sunblock last weekend. I went to a pool party. So it's actually Johnny's birthday. Happy birthday, Johnny.
Happy birthday, Johnny.
Yes, it's his big 4-0 party. That's and he was sporting a handlebar-type mustache beard. It was like a...
Was he pulling the Dirty Sanchez?
It did look like a Dirty Sanchez last weekend.
Johnny's into a Dirty Sanchez.
Yeah, it was a good party. We had a lot of... There was lots of pizza and everything, and some booze, and it was fun. And Mike was here. Mike was here also. So
did you get in the sling?
No, I didn't get in the sling. The high sling. Why is it high? Ask me. Show at bearpodcast.com. Uh-huh. Ask me why. So yeah, we Mike and I were there. What else did we do? We hung around with a couple of friends at noon. Ate lunch with our friend Steven and Josh, and that's pretty much it. And then whole party Saturday. Oh, the wave. Oh, last Sunday. Thank you to all Houstonians who went to our fundraiser last Sunday, because after the games, we won one game, we lost one game. But anyway, that afternoon, after 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, we were at the Tony's Corner Pocket where we did our fundraiser, the Wave softball fundraiser. So it's beach themed. So we had 50-50 raffle, and we had jello shots, we had Kip's lemonade, we had, what else? We had the 50-50 raffle. We also had the basket raffles where you buy this much and then you put the tickets into the baskets. Yeah. So then somebody gets drawn. I enjoyed my part because I did the 50-50 raffle.
Yeah.
Which part do you think I liked?
Touching anybody's crotch?
Exactly. I did the... they have the $1 per ticket. They had the $5 for 6 tickets. $10 for 20 tickets. Or it's an inseam for $20. So that's what I was doing. I was doing inseam, and you know how you do
what
it.
What if somebody's a midget?
I can't. Well, there was no one, so I can't really tell. Then I have to do. Then he'll ask me.
And you have people, to do from 1 foot all the way across to the other foot.
Yeah. So they would ask somebody else to be the measure. So I want this tall guy to be my inseam. Just happened, it's a bear, so you get to rub around, you know, accidentally rub your forehead somewhere.
On the crotch.
Yeah, that's right. So, I swear it's by accident.
Right.
I had about 5 accidents, I guess. So, yeah, we raised a lot of money. I mean, the way I was doing it cost me, I had the 50-50 raffle was about $400 or something. So 50-50 half would be 270.
Maybe you should start doing something like, instead of a Texas pinning, a Texas raffle.
Texas raffle. Raffle pinning.
Yeah. So for $20, you unzip, get them hard, and stick it from wherever their zipper is to where the wet spot is, you get tickets.
And then you sell them a ticket.
No, $20 donation.
Uh-huh. Oh, so. Wow. Oh, that's right. Instead of just pinning. See, that's a good fundraiser. If you want to pin... you should pay.
Yeah.
It's like prostitution a little bit, though,
right? No. It's all about fundraising.
It's fundraising, that's right.
So
anyway, so that's what kept me busy last weekend. So how about you, Ray? What did you guys do?
Worked around the house. It was kind of a laid back weekend. We did Sunday we did early Father's Day.
Oh, early Father's Day. Why? Why so?
Because Robbie's brother's gonna be out of town. Oh. Be out of town on actual Father's Day, so we did early Father's Day. So
I see. Oh, I saw that picture that Robbie posted about that flower.
Oh, the flower, beautiful. Yes, it was beautiful.
So that's what you were waiting for, and then it only blooms one day, and then the next
one night, that's it.
One night.
If you don't catch it, it shrivels up. Did you see the after picture he posted the next day?
It's the next day.
It's like all shriveled up, hanging there.
And then what happens? It just dies away.
It just falls off, yeah.
Oh, wow.
And this is the biggest one yet. It happened, well, I think it happened once last year and once earlier this year, right after it warmed
up. Is it a kind of cactus?
It is a cactus, yeah.
Okay.
It's a like climbing cactus type thing, and it's only flowered maybe 3 times since we had it planted, but it seems like after a lot of rain, it does that. So, man, we got them planted all over the yard because all you need to do is take them in the ground and they root, and then they start growing up the fence or that one's growing up the side of the house.
It's beautiful. I like it. So, I like the flower.
Well, anytime you want to cut it, just grab it.
Oh, yeah.
Stick it in the dirt and let it grow on something. But when it grows on something, it's going to grow on it. So.
Okay. We'll do that sometime.
Yeah.
All right. So let's do some.
Shout out.
Oh, okay.
Get well to Nichelle Nichols, who was Lieutenant Uhura on Star Trek. She had a minor stroke this week. She is doing well from all the reports and everything. But that kind of is like, because, you know, she was one of my favorite characters on Star Trek.
Yeah, she was the coolest.
Yeah. Her, Spock, and Scotty. So.
Not George Takei?
He was okay.
Judge Takei is okay.
He was okay.
He's okay.
But so anyway, I hope she gets better. So it's kind of hard to, you know, I used to, when people talk about all these stars dying, and it never really thought about it until like that's the first. I was like, oh my God, all my Star Trek people are dying.
I know.
Leonard Nimoy and now her. She's not dying, but she's getting sick. So
she's getting sick.
But you got to realize they're all in their 70s and 80s now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty sad. Okay, so guys, before we go to the topics, yeah, the pictures here are from Mark. I took some from Facebook, so thank you, Mark, for the pictures. Okay. Is it moving?
It's not moving.
It's been there for the longest time?
Yeah.
I got to fix this.
Jared has been there grinning at us ever since we started.
Let me see if I can fix this. I'll probably fix it later. Okay.
In between the show.
I'll fix it in post. It's been stuck here forever.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was right now before we switch on the topics and you can fix it.
No, I didn't have to be pressing buttons. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll press it once. So yeah, this is Jared and Mark on the picture. Okay,
yeah. So.
Okay, so let's go to the topics.
Okay. Are you okay?
No, not really. I've been battling this allergies for a week. More than
you
a week
got the
now.
TB, have you? You haven't traveled with that chick from India with the TB, have you?
No. It's really allergies. And Flonase is working.
Okay, good.
Flonase has been working, and it's really getting better.
All right, our topic this week is drinking coffee gives you a stronger penis, according to a new study. So I should be able to nail freaking nails in my dick if it makes it as strong as they're saying.
Because you drink that much coffee. Because
I drink like maybe 4 cups of coffee a day. Then I have maybe, and then like every few days I'll allow myself to have a frappuccino in the afternoon.
Oh, really? Okay, I have a comment about that later. Okay. Okay, so maybe I should take this. Sure.
Yeah.
Attention, non-coffee drinkers. A cup of Joe may be the secret to preventing erectile dysfunction.
And we ain't talking about Joe Mommy either.
Mm-hmm. Yep, a new study from the University of Texas. Ooh, Texas. Health Science Center at Houston reveals that coffee can give you a stronger penis. I don't know what kind of strong. So researchers found that guys over the age of 20 who consume the caffeine equivalent of 2 to 3 cups of coffee a day were less likely to report erectile dysfunction, ED, issues than men who steered clear of the stimulant. The connection was strongest in overweight guys. Really? Mm-hmm. Say study over author David Lopez. But he plans to dive further into how the caffeine erectile dysfunction link can affect different weight groups. Caffeine has properties similar to ED drugs like Viagra, and says study co-author Run Wang. Nice name. Run Wang. It should be Run. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the stimulant triggers a series of effects that causes the arteries in your penis to relax and your blood flow to increase, both keys to a strong erection. Basically, you'll never need a better excuse for being late to work than your daily Starbucks run. Okay, so this is interesting because I'm really not much of a coffee drinker, but lately at work I have been drinking a lot of coffee because you have this access to lots of Costa Rican coffee and some Starbucks coffee and CC's coffee that we have it at work. So like 2 days ago, I just realized I drank about 3 cups of coffee. Kept drinking, just kept pouring, and then I realized, wait, this is my 3rd cup of coffee for the day, and it's not even an hour, you know. So I don't know. Not that I have any problems with with erectile dysfunction. What I'm saying is, I've been picking up this this habit. You've been drinking a lot of coffee every day. You drink coffee every day,
pretty much.
Okay.
I know I'm addicted to it because if I don't drink it, I get headaches.
You get headaches. Okay. Me, I noticed today I did not drink coffee today at all. Just tea. I think I took a decaf tea even. This afternoon I got so sleepy. I was just so sleepy. Does it really help you with not sleeping?
It wakes me up and gets my going because my biggest problem is getting up in the morning. I am like a zombie. My brain will, I have a, especially if I haven't slept good stuff, I have a very hard time with my brain operating. Like I'll wake up and sit on the bed for 15 minutes trying to make my body get up and move and do stuff. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I get up and get ready. So sometimes I actually go to the gym. So, but So when I get to work, by the time I usually work, I'm awake enough that, you know, that I'd wait because I don't want to make a pot of coffee at home. And I get, and I try not to use the pods unless maybe on the weekends is when I use them. Like Saturday mornings, I keep some pods around because they just go to the landfill. But work provides free coffee. So somebody bought a couple years ago, bought me a Starbucks mug, coffee mug, which is about two regular size cups of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So I have two of those in the morning.
So you always drink, oh, wow, that's a lot of coffee. Yeah.
And then, like, time work, my bowel movement happens at 10 a.m.
You know, same thing with Mike. Mike at work also, he would tell me that he would drink, he would always make coffee at work, right inside his room.
Yeah.
He would make coffee every day. He would drink about...
Wait a minute, he makes it one of his student assistants makes it?
I don't know, he makes it. He's got this coffee drip at the work. And he does it every day. And he drinks a pot, two or three pots a day, I think.
Even. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Is it decaf or regular?
It's regular. Oh, yeah.
What kind? What brand? Is it community coffee?
Yes, yeah, some of them are usually community coffee, ACC's coffee, or Starbucks, or whatever some of the students bring him.
For some reason, I just imagine some little dude in a geisha outfit.
Bringing coffee.
What the hell? I'm seeing your coffee.
Anyway, so yeah, what do you guys think? Do you drink a lot of coffee? Does it give you Does it?
Now, if you go read the article, and the links are online, and it's also on the Gay Geek and Bazaar. If you go look at some of the comments on the article, there's like, I'm 58 years old and I still get hard as a rock like I was a teenager and still have sex and I don't drink coffee at all, blah, blah, blah. God bless you.
So, good for him. Okay, let's go right to entertainment.
Entertainment. Okay, you want to take the first one?
Okay, I like this because it's about Daredevil. And okay, Daredevil season 2. I did enjoy Daredevil season 1. It's available in Netflix. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so Daredevil season 2, John Berthel, he played Shane Walsh in The Walking Dead. He's now cast as the Punisher in Daredevil 2. So
season 2. So we'll be seeing the Punisher in season 2. We were wondering what comic book characters we would be seeing. So it's going to be interesting because a lot of people love the Netflix version of Daredevil because it has opened it up and it's more realistic and people can relate to it. So if you haven't watched, go watch it.
Who's gonna be like? Awesome. Who's gonna be Bullseye?
I don't know, but see, they still got the Iron Fist, the Jones, and a couple others that are Marvel that are supposed to be released. So,
oh, okay,
that are coming out that kind of tie into Daredevil too, because they're eventually gonna set up to be the Defenders, and I don't know if they're gonna do the Defenders on Netflix or if they're gonna do their Defenders movie.
Interesting. So, you think they're going to use the same guy?
I don't know. See, like, DC's not doing that with the CW because they're not using the same Flash that's on the Flash TV series, which was the most popular TV series this year.
Yeah, it is, actually. I really enjoyed the Flash, too.
So, all right, next. Maynard has not watched this, and I told him last week, dude, you got
to
watch this.
I'm looking forward to watch this. I just need to get the time.
If you have Netflix or you have a way to go bootleg this from somewhere, however you do it, not that I encourage bootlegging, but Sense8 is an awesome show. I'm about episode 5 or 6. I can't remember where I left off last night, but it is just incredible. It's brought to us by Michael J. Straczynski, who used to write Babylon 5, was the creator of Babylon 5, and the Wachowski brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a TV show. And it's, you know, back in the old day, I would be like, this is the most gayest fucking TV show there is.
And how do you say this one now?
But now I say this is the most integrated TV type show that I've ever seen.
Oh, really?
Because it's like, here's these people's lives. It doesn't matter if they're gay, straight, transgendered, whatever. It's the story. It's integrated. There's nothing really shocking as far as like, oh my God, he turned out to be gay or anything like that. It's just he is. Mm-hmm. And they're dealing with it. And they're talking about pride. And they're talking about growing up in a home full of addicted parents and shit like that. So it's pretty cool.
You know what's good about it? That it's in Netflix. It's in Netflix, right? Mm-hmm. It's in Netflix. They have free reign to do whatever they want. They
can, I know there's even full frontal nudity, which I saw last night. Which male nudity.
Okay.
It was only a glimpse, and I had to rewind. And rewinding in Netflix is not easy. But I got it enough time so I could get the full frontal, even though I'd seen it before in another movie. So.
And then you whipped out your pants and...
No.
and so. Took some paper
towel. I just
wanted
to make sure that it was not a prosthetic. It was real. So.
Ooh, okay. I got to watch it now.
Okay. So Sense8 is about a group of people around the world who are certainly linked mentally and must find a way to survive being hunted by those who see them as a threat to the world's order. Now, one of the characters in the show is Daryl Hannah. So she starts off as like the mother of all them, of all the senses or whatever. But she kind of goes out and through her vision, you see these eight different people and she's the one that links them together. And then she disappears. So I'm not going to break all that, but I want to talk to you about some of the cast because it's pretty cool. There's Amel Amin, who is Cassius Van Damme, a compassionate Matatu van driver in Nairobi with a strong sense of justice who is desperately trying to earn money to buy medicine for his mother who is suffering from AIDS. And mm-hmm. this has been, and each one of them have very strong storylines that they're separate from, but they combine them together with the others that's going on with the other cast. So mm-hmm. it's pretty interesting. And I thought this was very, because you never hear about anybody taking care of somebody with AIDS anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Doesn't happen anymore. It's a manageable disease.
Yeah. Duna Bay as Sun Bak. Is that how you say that? Bak in Korean?
Bak. Yeah.
Yeah. Daughter of a powerful Seoul businessman and burgeoning star in the underground kickboxing world. In other words, she kicks ass.
That's when she could lend her powers, her abilities to fighting to others, right?
And that's how they start interacting. So there's Jamie Clayton as Naomi Marks, a trans woman and hacktivist living in San Francisco, which is also a very interesting character.
Mm-hmm.
There's Tina Desai, is that how you say it?
Desai.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As Kala Dakandar, a pharmacist and devout Hindu in Mumbai, engaged to marry a man she does not love.
Wow.
Tuppence Middleton as Raleigh Blue, an Icelandic DJ with troubled past that has made her run away to London. She has a very interesting casting. There's Max Rumelt as Wolfgang Bogdanow, a Berlin locksmith and safecracker who has unresolved issues with his father and participates in organized crime. You might have seen him if you've ever watched his movie Free Fall, which is about two cops and being gay. It's very, very hot. Miguel Angel Silvestri as Lito Rodriguez, a closeted, well, he says Mexican telenovela, but in the thing he says he's from Spain. So he's a closeted Spanish telenova actor living in Mexico City. Lito's boyfriend is played by Alfonso Herrera as Hernando, Lito's secret lover. Now, Alfonso Herrera used to be in a boy band, a Mexican boy band, RBG or something like that, I think is what we're called.
RBG? I thought that's the...
Ruth Gator Brink. Maybe I'm thinking of it. I'm trying to remember what it was, but I remember seeing them. And he's just... And like, once I saw him, I was like... At first, I was like, oh my God, his boyfriend's hotter than he is. So, but anyway. And then Brian J. Smith is Will Gorski, a Chicago cop haunted by an unsolved murder from his childhood. Most will remember him from Stargate Universe and The War Boys.
Stargate Universe? Which one was he?
He was the young lieutenant that was sleeping with... Oh. What's her name?
Oh, okay, the young lieutenant, okay.
Yeah, and in The War Boys, he was the one that had gay tendencies, if you ever saw that movie. So, okay. Posted on the Gay Geek and Bazaar, you can check out the Not Safe for Work sex scenes post that we posted there that is quite...
Okay, so tonight, probably tonight or tomorrow morning when I go to the gym, I'll probably check out Sense8 because I've seen the trailers and I think it's really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. The only thing is, don't be tired when you watch it because you have to be coherent to follow along the storyline because they cross over so much with each other and sometimes you kind of get lost and miss stuff if you're not paying attention. That's the only thing I've noticed about the show.
Oh, okay.
You have to pay attention. It's one of the shows you have to pay attention to. Huh? You can't just watch it and kind of zone out. You have to be like, okay, this is doing this and this and this. Because it revolves around all eight of them and the story keeps changing. So.
Okay. Well, check it out. Sense8. Okay. Okay, guys, there. I got the slideshow going again. So I hope you guys see. This is where
there's
the
Mike.
Picture. There's Mike and Jared and Paul. Yeah,
are standing around in the background.
This is the pool party last Saturday. So thank you again for Mark for the pictures. Okay, so one more thing, it's the camera. If you're looking at it differently right now, I'm using a different device, I should say. a device that should not be named. Yeah, so I'm testing it out. See if it looks good on your side. Okay. All right, so let's go to the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay. This week's gay. Are overweight men and the LGBT community more stigmatizing? Hell yes. So that's my personal opinion.
You still think so?
Oh, I know so.
Okay.
All right. For most people, weight is a black and white issue. No, it's not. If you're overweight, it means you're unhealthy. Not necessarily. If you're underweight, it means you're unhealthy. If you're not an appropriate weight, it means you're unhealthy. But if you're in an obnoxiously stacked, muscle-enhanced, gym-addicted, scripted physique, you're perfect.
That's not to me.
Well, to a lot of gay guys. All want muscle guys.
Not so. To me. Okay.
And I like looking at muscle guys myself. I mean, I ain't going to say, hey, you know, they don't look bad, so. This is a topic no one likes to talk about because no matter what you say, the subject of health seems to overrule everything. If you're fat, you're unhealthy. It's like a paintbrush that wipes away all other arguments. This is a terrible misconception that has been proven wrong by scientists for years. For a bigger person, coming out of the closet is half the battle. The real journey is finding acceptance from the vast majority of judgmental eyes. Comments about your weight never stop long after you come out as gay, which makes me wonder, are big people in the LGBT community more stigmatized? The unfortunate truth is that they are stigmatized everywhere, not just in our community. We might say we want equal rights. We might say we don't judge people based on their looks, but in the end, how genuine is it? I knew a guy in college who was overweight and afraid to come out of the closet. Being raised in a strict Baptist home, it was clear he wasn't going to do it anytime soon. Much to my surprise, he hacked up the courage. He later confessed to me that it was one of the biggest leaps he'd ever made. But even long after coming out, the insecurities about his weight didn't disappear. The same people encouraged him to be his real self were the same ones patting his belly saying, "Getting a little tubby, aren't we?" Not to mention the guys on Grindr were soul-crushing. Wow. I used to hope he was just a little he was just the exception, but unfortunately, his story is shared by countless other men.
You know, in my world, in the bear world that I this is not a problem for me.
Well, it's not a problem for you.
Yeah, I mean, so. I don't stigmatize
people. But here's the problem. Most guys have a type of guy you're attracted to.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times that's not what you are.
Yes, that's right.
So, and I think that's where that comes from. That because the kind of guys I'm attracted to are usually not attracted to me.
Okay.
So, and then when I go after them or try to hit up on them, I get rejected. And that rejection just keeps piling, oh, I'm fat. I'm being rejected because I'm fat. And it just leads down that whole road. Even bear on bear, you get rejected. Because some guys are, oh, you're too skinny for me, even though they're bear.
Yeah.
Or you're too big for me.
You're too big or you're too small.
Yeah.
Yeah. As for me,
it's the Goldilocks syndrome.
Goldilocks is in... Just right.
We're
looking for the just right one. Well, in my case, yeah, like me, I like bears. I like bears, but then if I see myself, I don't think I'll be attracted to myself. I mean, you know, I'm not that. I'm not narcissistic or anything.
I love hanging out with bears and friends and everything, but I'm not attracted to most bears, even though I've been in two relationships with them pretty much. And it's not that I wasn't attracted to the person. It's more about the person than what they look like. But, mm-hmm. I mean, but in general, that's not what physically I'm attracted to. Now, it changes. I mean, I do find other bears that sometimes attractive. But most of them, overall, I'm just like their friends and hang out and have a good time. And that's all it is. So.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but everyone has a different experience. There are tons of people in the LGBT community who love their bodies and hate it when other people think they're sad, insecure, or lazy. Certainly, this is enough to drive anyone mad, and it does drive me mad. Gay culture today is a dog-eat-dog in that we're always fighting for some kind of acclaim. We often use each other's tools, and since weight is something anyone can point to, it's become an easy target to judge a person on. In a world full of stereotypes, being big automatically turns you into a bear or a chub, and being too skinny turns you into a twink. All words I never use in my daily life. Well, I do.
I do.
I do. How can anyone fulfill their potential when they're literally throwing our self-esteem in the mercy of others? We can preach all we want about how tall we are, but it's very obvious that bigger people are forced to stand in the back of the bus. It's easy to point at them and say they're putting themselves in that position, but the truth is something very terribly wrong with our society. I don't think it's going to change overnight. Still, at some point, everyone needs to wake up and smell the unfairness. It seems like gay people are more prejudiced about weight than they are about race, age, and other issues prone to misconception. And I think some of our listeners will have an objection to that. It is not unusual for a bigger person to feel like an outsider in his own community. How we let this continue? More so, how can we try to stop it? Okay.
Who wrote this? This is from gayguys.com.
It's from gayguys.com. Yeah, it's an article from there. So you can go click on the link and go read it and see all the comments and stuff. But I thought it was a real true. It speaks a lot of truth. And last week, you know, when Caitlyn Jenner came out, there are all the posts about making jokes in front of that. And I'm like, you know, why are we doing this? Here we are about to get gay marriage through the U.S., we hope. We're making all these strides, but we're still self-critical of people in our own community. I'm so fucking happy for Caitlyn Jenner that she can become who she wants to be. You know, there's some little 14-year-old kid out there somewhere that believes he's a woman on the inside and is trying to deal with it, and this coming out is going to make them survive and not kill themselves.
Yeah.
But when you see Facebook and you see all these negative posts and people talking about fat and all this kind of stuff, you know, and I look at myself, I do the same thing. I make fun of people because of their weight. I make fun of myself because of my weight. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's self-humiliation. I mean, and I beat myself up about, you know, I'm the first one to beat myself up about my weight all the time. So I totally get this article. and I understand what it's like to go big because I know I've been approached by guys and I've turned them down and stuff because of weight and other stuff. And it's not that I don't like the person. It's just I'm not attracted to them. So I'll be a friend, but I ain't going to be fuck buddy or something. But, you know.
How about a hand job buddy?
Yeah.
Not even a So just to talk about Caitlyn really quick. She's beautiful. On the
I will say this to be a hater bitch. She is better looking than her ex-wife.
That Vanity Fair?
Yeah.
She looks good. But
now there's a lot of makeup and Photoshop going on.
Still, so I'm sure.
Don't think that she's going to look like that every day. That's a lot of makeup and
Photoshop. Well, yeah, that's true. But okay. Then she's like a model. There's a lot of actresses are like that too, that heavy on the makeup, but then take it all off. They're all ugly under
the makeup. Exactly.
It's the same.
So we all need to think about how we treat each other. It's like, you know, if somebody's overweight, you got to accept that that's what they are. Mm-hmm. I mean, even if they're overweight and they don't act like they're struggling with it, at some point they've struggled with something in their life, and you have to watch what you say and, you know, and carry on.
Anyway, so let's go into the geek. The geek now is about driverless cars. Are you ready for the future, having a driverless car?
Yes.
Okay.
It should have been here 10 years ago.
I know. Baidu.
Is that Erica Baidu?
Erica Baidu. No, it's not Erica Baidu.
So it's Erica Baidu.
Baidu is a, what is it? It's a tech site. Baidu to launch driverless car later this year. It's really early. I mean, see? It's coming up soon. So it had previously said it was working on such a car, but did not say when it would be available. The news reported by Chinese language website TechWeb, really Chinese TechWeb, is that Chinese? Will put it head to head with rival Google. So the firm will work with an unnamed car manufacturer, according to Baidu's senior vice president Jin Wang. He made the announcement at the China Cloud Computing Conference. See, the firm has previously teamed up with BMW to develop semi-autonomous car technology. The head of Baidu's deep learning lab, Yukai, has previously told the press that the firm does not agree with Google's view of a completely autonomous car, looking instead to develop a vehicle that will retain the traditional pedals but give the driver greater freedom. Okay. Yeah. It doesn't have to be fully automatic, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be fully driverless. So,
so you can text and drive now.
Yeah, pretty much. Artificial intelligence is rapidly becoming a key battleground for tech firms, with self-driving cars seen as one of the first practical applications for the technology. Baidu's rise in the field of artificial intelligence suffered a setback last week when Stanford University, which runs an AI to test to see. AI test to see whether computers can recognize and sort images, banned Baidu for competing for the next year. Wow, that's pretty bad. So the web giant was stripped off its 2015 title after it emerged that it broke the rules over how many tests it could run. Google announced last month that its prototype self-driving cars would take to the public roads this summer around its headquarters in Mountain View, California. It is also recently revealed that its cars had been involved in 13 minor accidents over the years, 6 years over the 6 years of tests, and all of those were because of other cars, not because of the driverless cars. You know, they were driving around, yeah, and then somebody would cut him off.
Yeah,
doing an accident because somebody cut him off. You know, because it's a human. Well, yeah. So,
yeah, but the car's supposed to anticipate that. What did you say? Well, like, was it the week or the week before that on ABC News? I was watching it one night, mm-hmm, and Volvo's released this new technology in their 2016 cars that's supposed to recognize if somebody walks out in front of the car and stop the car. Mm-hmm. It's like a pedestrian thing. And they were testing it at the showroom, and they went and the car went into gear and ran over the people. sales in Mexico. And I forgot what the excuse was, but they were like, oh, that line of car doesn't have it.
Oh.
So I think it's like a certain model that has it, and they were thinking that everybody had all the new models.
Oh, that's horrible.
So I mean, nobody was hurt seriously, but it was all caught on videotape, and it got posted, and it was on the ABC News, so I thought it was kind of funny.
That is bad.
So, but that's going to always be the problem, is the other driver. So yeah, it's kind of be one of those things where all of them are going to have to be driving automatically so they can link together and drive and do their own thing, and people are not doing crazy stuff. But I did notice that at one of the auto shows, I think it was Mercedes, that came out with a sleek-looking car that it's got like the wing doors that open out, all and right, on the inside the chairs can be turned to face each other, and the car would be driving itself. You could be having a conversation with somebody.
Oh God!
Or like do stuff or interact with
or
each
making
other.
Out
or having sex.
Or having
but
sex.
But also look at it this way: it's a technology that I'm hoping by the time that I reach where I can't drive anymore, that it's there, so the car could drive me to the grocery store because it'll make me more mobile. Because there are a lot of people I know now that are in their late 70s, 80s that can no longer drive. And them getting around is very hard. They have to call a cab or they have to take the bus and figure, you know, and all that. And that having your car and being able to get around, once you lose that right, and I know it's hard for people to give it the right, but once you lose that privilege, it's hard. Because mm-hmm, then you're dependent on somebody else. You lose that sense of personal freedom, I think.
But then if you reach the point that you can have a driverless car, in affordable prices.
Yeah.
And yeah, that'd be great.
So.
And not only that, for businessmen businessmen and people who work on the road, they can actually do work.
Yeah.
Like on the computer if they need to, while the car is driving.
Especially like 18-wheelers. I know Mercedes is working on this with their 18-wheeler division.
Yeah.
So stuff like that's going to be a great help. Because the government's getting so strict on the licensing and the amount of time they can drive and stuff. And if it can be automated and the automated can drive it so the driver can take a break or not have to be aware of the controls all the time, then maybe they can release that so drivers can get back to driving and making money and not being locked down and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And also they'll hopefully develop so people at the car can detect if someone's intoxicated or having a medical emergency, mm-hmm, and will drive for them or take them to what needs to happen. So
I'm looking forward to this, you know, our driverless car overlords. But you know what that means though? Loss of jobs.
How so?
Especially if it's a transportation, because if it's going to be driverless, it's going to be driverless. Some of them.
Well, how many people in the U.S. have personal drivers?
Well, it's more like well, there's a lot, especially in Texas, maybe. I'm not sure. I'm just guessing.
And you have cities like Houston that don't have good public transit, so you pretty much have to have a car to get around.
Mm-hmm. Well, like, for example, delivery trucks. Yeah.
They're still going to need somebody to drive the truck and make the deliveries. I mean, it's not completely taking automation away yet.
Yeah, that's
true. I think the whole thing in city driving is going to be a different. You might not be able to do it in city traffic because there's so much traffic that maybe it'll make it easier to do, because then it can say if everybody's driving at a certain speed and it can watch that, but then you still have people with road rage and acting crazy and cutting people off. And
yeah.
So.
Remember Demolition Man?
That's a long time ago.
You don't remember Sandra Bullock? Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah, it was a long time ago when I saw that movie.
But they had they were driverless cars. Well, it's automatic. Autopilot. Yeah, everything. Yeah. The car's autopilot. They still sit there, but then they take over.
Yeah.
It's pretty much, I guess, that's what Baidu is going to do.
Well, the same thing with AI, the Will Smith. It was based on a book.
Oh, iRobot?
iRobot, yeah. That whole thing was when the supercomputer took over driving so people wouldn't hit each other and it cut down on accidents because it was handling all the automatic driving in the cars and stuff so it could regulate it. So,
can you imagine that running 80 miles an hour or 90 miles an hour and a computer is just, everything's calculated?
Yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just interesting. I don't think it's going to go that fast, though.
But the other thing about automatic drivers is people lose that sense of what's going on. So if the brakes get slammed, you're not prepared for it. Usually if you're driving a car and you go to slam on the brakes, you brace yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also going to have to come into it. That's one of the things that one of the articles we read earlier was talking about a couple weeks ago. So,
all right.
On to the bazaar.
Okay.
Woman who claims to own the sun is suing eBay for denying real estate sales. Well, if she can own the sun, I can own Uranus.
Right.
Manage Uranus is for sale.
Uranus is for sale? Really?
So, since 2010, a woman from Galicia, Spain, has claimed ownership of the sun with some hot real estate on her hands, a circumference of 2,713,406,000 miles, million miles.
2,713,406 miles.
I'll get it out in a minute.
Okay.
I'm so tired I can hardly see the screen right now. My eyes are like blurring. All told, Maria Duran began selling parts of the Fiery Star on eBay about $1 for 11 square feet a couple years ago. Because eBay shut her operation down before she could cash in her 600 sold orders, Duran is suing the online auction site for a cool $11,000. Can anyone just claim they own a celestial body and sell all pieces of the land? The United Nations signed an out-of-space treaty that forbids all nations from claiming territorial jurisdiction. But Duran found a fairly large loophole, reports USA Today, where the treaty does not ban individuals from staking claim. I am not a stupid person and I know the law, Duran said when she first announced ownership 5 years ago. Madrid court said Duran has the right to take eBay to court. The trial will happen in the middle of next month, according to IBN. To make her solar scheme look more official, Duran registered the sun in her name with the local notary. Duran is the first person who has claimed parts of the cosmos as her own. For several decades, different people have been claiming they own the moon as well as various planets. So,
I don't even get it because you never even set foot in that place.
No.
Nor you ever will. I would imagine the moon or Mars. I heard somebody was selling moon real estate before or Mars real estate for $20 per square.
Well, none of us are able to get it. The corporations are going to get it one way or the other. So unless we change how all our government and everything works, it'll end up a corporation will be owning it all, like most of the sci-fi novels. The corporations will rule everything in the future.
So she found a loophole that you have to stake claim.
Yeah, and she staked claim. So
how do you even stake claim?
You'll get registered with a notary that you own it.
You just say that, I own it. Yeah. That's just it. Right. Okay.
How do we say how do we stake claim to the Americas?
You went there and conquered it, and you put a flag in the middle, staking claim. How can you do that in a different world? I mean, I, that's the way I look at it. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. That's like this when people are bitching on Facebook about immigration, and I'm like, motherfucker, you're an immigrant.
Everybody's an immigrant here.
So
some just came in early.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess that's our show. What are you guys planning this week?
I have no big plans. I've got a bunch of stuff going on at work, so I'm stuck with that.
Actually, me too. So we'll see
what happens. Maybe we'll send Jurassic Park.
Oh, that's right, Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
That should be good. That should be good in 3D, right? That'd be good.
I assume so.
Okay. All right. So that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or if you'd like to to voice your opinion on a comment in the article we've talked about on the show, then leave us a voicemail at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR.
Yes, and leave a voice message so we can play it in the show. And subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube, or you can also listen to the show on Bear Radio Network and on Stitcher Radio. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter and go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, and we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. And woof so many hugs.
Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear. Woof, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Woof, what a bear.